The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rabinowitz.
Let us begin by Ezer Hashem, Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Klal Chav Beis Dinei Tachnon. The laws of reciting Tachnon following Shmon Esrei. I refer the listener to valuable resources available on the Kitzur365.org website, the website associated with these recordings. The first one is a fascinating article by Rabbi Yirmiyahu Kaganov about the origin, background, and basic halachas of Tachnon. And its import as underscored by the Zohar in terms of achieving kapara through Tachnun. As well, there is an article by Rabbi Shimon Silber of Pittsburgh regarding the recitation of Tachnun in the presence of a mohel. Those two articles associated with Tachnun are available on that website. Begins the Kitzur Os Aleph. La'achar Shmoyne Esrei, following Shmoyne Esrei, Oymrim Tachnun Benefila Sapayim. We recite Tachnun while inclining our heads, literally falling of one's face, meaning we put our heads down on our arms. Ve'ein ledaber sichas chulin ben Shmoneh Esrei leTachnun. One should not interrupt between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachnun with idle talk, even if it's for learning or Dvarim Shebekdusha, with the exception, Mishneh Berurah Paskins, of responding to Kaddish, Amen Yehi Shmei Rabbah, and any other Dvar Shebekdusha, which requires one's response. Originally, Tachnun was said while prostrated with a Hishtachava. In our times, we merely perform an Afilas Sapayim, something which Sfarinim don't even do. They recite Tachnun just while sitting. If one inadvertently did speak inappropriately between Shmoneh Esrei and Tachnun, he may nevertheless, b'di'eved, recite Tachnun. B'shachris, kivan sheyosh tefillin b'smolo, noitin al tzad yamin, mishim kvod tefillin. While wearing tefillin during shachris, one should incline on his right, because out of deference to the tefillin that are being worn on his left arm. U'b'mincha, however, at mincha, when tefillin is not being worn, or at any other time when, for whatever reason, one is not wearing tefillin, then filas hapayim is to take place while leaning on one's left, which is the ideal position for nefilas hapayim, being that we are showing submission by subjugating and subordinating our left side, which symbolizes wealth and prestige, being that wealthy people in days of yore would incline on their left side, as we know from Haseva on Pesach. An additional reason for inclinings towards the left is that the Shechina is to one's right, and when one is inclined to the left, he is facing the Shechina, as opposed to if he were leaning towards his right, then the back of his neck would be facing to the Shechina, which is obviously less respectful. There are opinions that one should always incline on his left, and therefore the Mishneh Berurah brings that the Chai Adam suggests that even if one is wearing tefillin during mincha, he may still recline or incline his head binofel apayim towards his left, being that that is the way it is generally done during mincha. Even if one happens to be wearing tefillin, he may do so. Continues the Kitzur in Os Gimel, Nefilas Apayim Yishlius Miyushav. One should be sitting while reciting Nefilas Apayim, and we might add, even if for whatever reason he cannot perform Nefilas Apayim, for example, there's no Sefer Torah, as we will see soon, Be'ezer Hashem, nevertheless, he should at least be sitting while reciting Tachnun. Ach b'shas atchag, in extenuating circumstances, yochol liyos gam me'umad. He may recite Tachlin standing if he cannot sit. The Mishneh Berurah provides two examples of this. For example, if one has taken three steps back upon completion of Ishmon Esrei, whereupon he is required to wait the time it would take for him to walk four amis, four cubits, which are approximately 8 feet, before taking three steps forward and returning to his place. And if at that very moment, while he's waiting that time span, the tzibur, the congregation, begins the recitation of Tachnun, he should begin reciting Tachnun with them. And being that he cannot sit at that very moment, he may recite Tachnun standing. Likewise, if there is an individual behind him, even if that person is more than four amos behind him, but as long as he is in front of the individual davening, he may not take three steps back at the completion of his own Shmon Esrei, and therefore cannot sit for Tachnun. In that case, he may and should recite Tachnun standing. La'achar Tachnun oimrim v'anachnu lo neda. Following Tachnun, we add a tefillah underscoring our dependency on the Rebbeinu Shlalom and our desperate need for His mercy, for His rachmim, and we begin with the sentence "Va'anachnu lo neda." We do not know. We are not capable and knowledgeable enough to know which is the proper method for beseeching Rebbeinu Shlalom for compassion. So when we say those words, v'yeshla omre b'yeshiva, those words are to be recited while sitting. V'achakach omdim v'omre manasa v'chulu. The rest of that sentence, when we say we don't know what to do, the words manasa, what we should do, those are to be recited standing. And what we are conveying over here, the Mishneh Berurah explains, is that we have attempted to daven in various ways, in different positions, emulating Moshe Rabbeinu when he beseeched the Rebbeinu Shalom for forgiveness for the Chet Ha'egel, for the sin of the golden calf. Moshe Rabbeinu daven while sitting, while standing, and while performing Tefillas Apayim, while falling on his face. And we have done the same. So we point out to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we have tried every method known to us. We don't know how to go do more, and at that point we beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmanus, and that's why we would recite Tachnun in different positions. Continues the Kitzur. Ein Tefillas Apayim ki im b'makom sheyesham Sefer Torah. The Tefillas Apayim is to take place only in a location where there is a Sefer Torah present. Ava b'makom she'ein shem Sefer Torah, if there is no Sefer Torah there, Ava pi sheyesham sha'ar Sufrei Kodesh, although there are other Sfarim, Ein noflim al panayim, the filas apayim is not performed. Elo oimrim es hamizmer belina filas apayim. So, although one would sit, but the perek of Rachum Lechanun, which is the perek that Ashkenazim recite for the Tachanun service, that perek would be said without nefilas apayim. The background for this halacha is that the Navi in Yehoshua tells us that when Yehoshua was bemoaning Klal Yisrael's, the Jewish nation's defeat in the Battle of the Ai, Yehoshua was no fil al apav. Yeshua inclined his head in prayer, and it says that Yehoshua did so lifnei Aron Hashem. Yehoshua did this nefilas apayim in front of the Aron, which is a source and a basis for having a Sefer Torah, which the Aron did in addition to the Luchos, present at the time of the Tefillas Apayim. If one is davening in a balcony or in an Ezras Nashim, in the women's gallery, overlooking the Beis HaMedrash, the main sanctuary, as long as the Aron is visible from his location, he may conduct the Tefillas Apayim. The Minig in Yerushalayim is to be Nofel Al Apov, to fall on one's face even without a Sefer Torah present, because Yerushalayim is considered to be Lifnei Hashem. There are those who are of the opinion that one may rely on the presence of other Sefer Kodesh anywhere, and that was the custom of some Gedolim to do Nefilas Apayim as long as there were Sfarim in the room. continues the Kitzer. Uchshem Mispalalim Be'ezras Be'sakneses U'Pesach Be'sakneses Pasuach. If the opening to the shul is open, the door is ajar, and one can see the Aron Kodesh, Nechshav Ki'ilu Hayasham Sefer Torah, then the room in which the tefillah is taking place is considered to have a Sefer Torah. Shemispalalin Bebeis Ovel, or Bebeis Hameis, when one davens in the house of mourning, in the house where a mourner, one sitting Shiva, is present, Oy Beveis Hameis, Beveis Hameis would be the home in which a person, Lo Aleinu, was Nifter, passed away, or the home in which the Nifter's bier was brought to during his funeral. In that case, Afal Pisha Einsham Avil, even if there is no mourner present, but this is the home which is associated with the deceased's death or funeral, Ein Oymrim Tachnun Zayin Yemei Avelus Afilu B'Mincha Shel Yom Zayin. In that case, Tachnun would not be recited for the duration of the Shiva, the 7 days of mourning, even during Mincha of the seventh day. Tachnun is to be omitted. And the reason for this is that, being that there's a strict mode of judgment hovering over this home, we do not want to aggravate it and add to the harsh situation, so to speak, by invoking the attribute of mishpat, of strict judgment, and we therefore omit tachnun. The noagin shegam b'shuvam lebeisam einom omrim. And the custom is that even those returning to their homes after davening in the house of mourning would still not recite Tachnun even back in their homes. Regarding Vehu Rachum, the longer tefillah inserted on Mondays and Thursdays, the Mishnah Berurah offers two opinions, and there are those who are lenient and allow one to recite Vehu Rachum at least upon returning home. If there is a mourner who's davening in shul and not at his home, and he is joining the minyan, the congregation in shul and synagogue, ein hatzibur nigrarin achrov, the congregation would not follow the avil in regard to the omission of tachnun, ve'omrim tachnun, rather they would recite tachnun, ela sheha avil ein omer, it's only the avil personally who would not be reciting tachnun. Wherever the main minyan in the main sanctuary is not reciting Tachnun, those who are davening in the surrounding verandas or balconies or other structures near the shul would not recite Tachnun either. Ein oymrim Tachnun the Beis HaKnesses We do not recite Tachnun in a shul, or for that matter a hall, in where a bris milah, circumcision, is to take place shortly thereafter. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is of the opinion that even if the bris is to take place after mincha, later that day, Tachnun would already be omitted at Shachris, in that location. Or even if one of the members of the bris party, such as the father of the child, or the sandik, or the moel, if any of these individuals is davening in a shul, although the bris itself will not take place in that location, nevertheless, tachnun is to be omitted. The kvater, that is the one who is honored with bringing the child, the baby, into the sanctuary for the milah ceremony, he would not exempt the congregation in which he davens from Tachnun. Ve'im ispalalin mincha beveis hatinoik koidim su'uda sabris. If mincha is prayed in the home where the tinok is present before the bris meal or during the bris meal, although the bris has actually been performed, but being that this tefillas mincha is being said during the seuda, the festive meal celebrating the bris, the simcha is considered to be ongoing, and therefore tachnun would be omitted. As long as the child is present and that the bris meal has not been completed with benching. Avalim ispalalim la'acha berchas hamazon. However, if the tefillah is being recited after benching, after meal grace, Aimrim. Achabal bris, then tachnun would be recited by everyone else present, with the exception of Achabal bris v'asandok v'hamoel lo yoimru af la'acha berchas hamazon bishum b'yomtav shalahem hu. The principal parties in the bris would not recite tachnun for the rest of the day, even after benching, because it is their Yom Tov, it is their personal holiday, and for them individually, tachnun would be omitted even after the bris festivities. Continues the Kitzur in Ozayin. V'chein ein oimrim b'beis ha-kneses sheyesham chason kol shivas yemei mishta shalo. Tachnun is to be omitted in a shul where a chasan, a groom, is praying for the duration of the seven festive days, the Sheva Brachos. Im ha-chason haya bachar o ha-kala besula. If the chasan or the kala of the bride or the groom had never been married before, there are 7 days of festivities celebrated after the wedding, including the day of the wedding. And for the duration of that period, tachnun is to be omitted. The Mishnah Berurah is of the opinion that a groom should try to avoid davening with a minyan, joining a tzibur and shul during his Sheva Brachos, so that he would not force them to omit tachnun. However, the prevalent custom, as formulated by the Chazon Ish and of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, is that Chassan does not need to avoid. On the contrary, he should daven with a minyan, although tachnun would be omitted on his account. In terms of when the 7 day period is completed, the Mishnah Berurah writes that tachnun will be omitted for 7 24-hour periods following the chuppah. So for the full 7 24-hour periods, although that time may end up being on the 8th day since the wedding, if the wedding was on the first day, and this would really be 7 days later and would be on the 8th day, if one were to count the wedding day as the first, nevertheless, since it's within that time span of 7 times 24 hours, tachnun would be omitted. So this is, again, regarding a bride or a groom who had never been married. Aval alman shenasa almana, literally a widow who married a widower, or for that matter, a divorcee, ein l'rak shleisha yamim. Then the post-wedding celebration lasts for only 3 days, so tachnun will be omitted only for that time, v'chakach omrim, and afterwards tachnun would be said. U'beyom ha-chuppah b'shachris omrim. On the day of the wedding itself, tachnun would be recited at shachris in the morning. U'be-mincha shehu samach l'chuppah inayimrim. It's only at mincha, immediately preceding the chuppah, that tachnun will be omitted. There are variant customs regarding this halacha. Then there are those who omit tachnun when a chassan is present, even if it's the morning of his wedding day, as long as his chuppah will take place before sunset. If the chuppah is going to take place on that day, on that halachic day, that is before nightfall, then there are those who would omit tachnun even at shachris. Continues the kitzur. Ein oimrim tachnun Loiber Rosh Chodesh. Tachnun is to be omitted on joyous festive days in our calendar, such as Rosh Chodesh, the first day of the month, Velo B'tu B'Av, the 15th day of the month of Av, where the Jewish nation experienced several miracles in the times of the temple, the Second Temple, and because of the various festive events commemorated on that day, it is somewhat of a holiday, and Tachnun is to be omitted. Velo B'tu B'Shvat, the beginning of the growth of trees in the new season, Velo B'Chanukah, on Tachnun is to be omitted for the duration of Chanukah, Velo B'Purim Gadol Beis Yomim, on the 14th and 15th of Adar, on Purim, which is celebrated in the second Adar on a leap year. So that holiday would be called Purim Gadol to distinguish from Purim Katan. Purim Katan is on the 14th and 15th of the first Adar of a leap year, and those are also festive days, although to a lesser degree. What they do share in common is that Tachnun is to be omitted both on the 2 days of Purim Gadol and the 2 days of Purim Katan, meaning that even though Purim is being celebrated on Yudalid in most locations and on Tezvav in Yerushalayim, nevertheless, Tachnun would be omitted on both days anywhere. For the significance of Purim Katan, I refer the listener to an article on the Kitzer website regarding the background and evolvement of Purim Katan. The Lo B'Lag Ba'Omer, Tachnun, would also be omitted on Lag Ba'Omer, on a day where we commemorate the cessation of the deaths of the students of Rabbi Akiva in the Tannaitic era, as well as a day of joy in honor of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So Tachnun is to be omitted. The Lo B'chol Chodesh Nisan, for the entirety of the month of Nisan, Tachnun is not recited. That is because the first 12 days are festive ones commemorating the sacrifices of the princes of the Nisim, in the tabernacle in the Mishkan, and in addition to the holiday of Pesach, which leaves us with most of the month being a festive time, and therefore the minority of the month will follow, and Tachnun is to be omitted for the entire month. The Lo B'Tisha B'Av, Tisha B'Av is called a Moed, an auspicious occasion, and we omit Tachnun. It is the beginning of hope, the beginning of consolation, and therefore Tachnun is to be omitted. The Lo B'Yomim Shebin Yom HaKippur Masukas, the days between Yom Kippur and the Sukkot holiday, are festive ones as well. The Lo Merosh Chodesh Sivan Ad La'achar Isru Chag D'Shavuos, Tachnun would be omitted as well from the first day of Sivan until after the day following the Shavuos. So through Ches Sivan in Chutz La'aretz or Zion Sivan in Eretz Yisrael, Tachnun would be omitted. There is a widespread custom not to recite Tachnun for the 6 days after Shavuos. That is because sacrifices that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and of the Temple that were not brought on the Shavuos holiday itself could have been brought up to 6 days following Shavuos. And therefore there is some special joy and a holiday-like emanations during those days, and therefore Tachnun is not to be recited. There is a dispute as to whether it would be 6 days following Zion Sivan, that would take us through Yud Gimel Sivan in Chutz La'aretz, where Shavuos is celebrated on Vav and Zion Sivan, or that even in Chutz La'aretz, Tachnun can only be omitted through Yud Beis Sivan, but not on Yud Gimel. The Lo B'Yisru Chag D'Sukkos, and finally, Tachnun is to be omitted on the day following Sukkos. B'chol Eilu, in all of the above days, in Omrim Gam B'Mincha Shalefneim, Tachnun is to be omitted even at the Mincha before them. Before those days, the Mincha on the eve of any one of these holidays, Tachnun will be omitted. Aval Be'erev Rosh Hashanah U'Be'erev Yom HaKippurim, on the eve of Rosh Hashanah and on the eve of Yom Kippur, although Tachnun would be omitted beginning already from Shachris. However, Oymrim b'mincha shelefneim, Tachnun will be recited on the mincha preceding the day of Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur. Ube'erev Rosh Hashanah Oymrim gam b'slichos, on Erev Rosh Hashanah Tachnun is to be recited in the early morning slichos, even if the slichos extend past daybreak. Rak la'achar kach ein oymrim. It is only after slichos, while davening shachris, that tachnun is to be omitted on Erev Rosh Hashanah. B'sheni u'b'chamishi, on Mondays and Thursdays, l'fishem yamei ratzoi, and they are times of special favor from the Rabbona Shel Olam. Ki be'arboim yom shel kabbalas luchos shniyos, for on the during the 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu's receiving of the second tablets, Olam Moshe Rabbeinu b'yom hei v'yorad b'yom beis, he ascended to heaven on Thursday and descended on Monday. Therefore, those days have been vested with special powers for beseeching the Rabbana Shel Olam. L'chein marbim b'hem tachnunim, we therefore increase our supplications. V'omrim koydim tachnun v'hurachum, and we add v'hurachum before tachnun. V'omrim osam umad, v'hurachum should be said standing. But the Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch point out that the one who does not recite it standing is somewhat of a nonconformist and is to be reprimanded. V'tzarech la'omrei b'kavano b'masinus, one should say it with concentration and deliberately, derech tachnunim, in the manner of a plea or a supplication. U'biyomim she'in omrim tachnun, on days when tachnun is not recited, ein omrim also, v'hurachum would be omitted as well. Finally, Osyud, la'achar tachnun oymrim chatzi kaddish. Following tachnun, one would recite a half a kaddish, the more abridged version of kaddish. U'b'sheni u'b'chamishi oymrim keil erech hapayim u'umen. On Mondays and Thursdays, as the Sefer Torah is being taken out of the ark, one would recite a short supplication beginning with keil erech hapayim, and he would do so standing. The ayin lekamon siman chafesiv beis, in a few simanim, hence we will, God willing, discuss masai enom remoso, when tachnun is not to be recited and when kel erech hapayim is not to be recited. And that, Be'ezer Hashem, completes klal chaf beis.